إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، قال المصنف شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب من الشرك النذر لغير الله. وقال الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى: أي من الشرك الأكبر، من الشرك الأكبر، من الشرك النذر لغير الله، وقول الله تعالى: يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا، وقوله تعالى: وما أنفقتم من نفقة أو نذرتم من نذر فإن الله يعلمه. شيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى says in his book كتاب التوحيد, another chapter, chapter number 12, to vow to other than Allah is an act of shirk. To vow, V-O-W, to other than Allah is an act of shirk. In the explanation, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hawa Ta'ala, says is an act of major shirk. Because we understand sometimes when the ulama, they say shirk, you want to know which shirk, minor or major. In the explanation, the Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, he says that what's intended here in this title, in this chapter, to vow to other than Allah is an act of shirk, is an act of major shirk, shirk akbar. In this chapter, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala brought three proofs, two from the Quran and one from the Sunnah. As from the Quran, he mentioned the ayah 7 from Surah Al-Insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ, they are those who fulfill their vows, and they fear a day whose evil will be widespread. Also in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 270, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن نَفَقَةٍ أَوْ نَذَرْتُم, that's نَذَر, أَوْ نَذَرْتُم مِّن نَذْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ, and whatever you spend for spending, example, sadaqah, charity, etc. for Allah's cause, or whatever vow you make, whatever vow you make, be sure Allah knows it all. As for the hadith, we mention it later on, inshaAllah ta'ala, because Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى إن الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد, he began by explaining these two ayahs first, and then we will read to you the explanation of the hadith later on. كعادته فضيلة الشيخ الوالد حفظه الله, as usual, he began by bringing the relevance of this chapter to كتاب التوحيد. مناسبة هذا الباب لكتاب التوحيد. In another way, why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى introduced this chapter into كتاب التوحيد, or in another way, what connection this chapter have with كتاب التوحيد. Yet there is nothing mentioned about توحيد. باب من الشرك, this chapter, you don't hear the word Tawheed. Rather, you hear Shirk. So what connection this chapter has with Kitab Tawheed? Yes, there is a strong one. The Shaykh says, أَنَّ الْمُصَنِّفَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ بَيَّنَ فِيهِ نَوْعًا مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الشِّرْكِ الْمُنَافِي لِلتَّوْحِيد, وَهُوَ النَّذْرُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ يُحْذَرَ وَيُجْتَنَبْ. He said, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى introduce this chapter into Kitab al-Tawheed Because in this chapter, he, rahimahullah, made clear one of the types of shirk, major shirk, that opposed tawheed. See, that's why he brought it, that opposed tawheed. And this type of major shirk is an-nadhru li ghayrillah, making vow, to vow to other than Allah. To vow, yirhamukallah, to vow to other than Allah. لماذا؟ ليحذر ويجتنب. Why he's bringing it? So that the people know about it and avoid it. You don't make vows to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this chapter here, as you know, Shaykh al-Islam, still bringing examples from major shirk. Because the chapter before that was about what? Who remembers? لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله. ذبح. It was about a couple of chapters that were about slaughtering for other than Allah. That's major shirk. Because ذبح عبادة. Slaughtering is an act of worship. You don't slaughter for the jinn. You don't slaughter for some dead people, because some people do that. Some ignorant Muslims, they fall into shirk, major shirk, wal-iyadu billah. They pray and fast Ramadan and make hajj, but then they go to a dead grave. There's somebody in the grave dead, who knows? Who knows if it's a human being or animal? And they go slaughter, because somebody in there told them, listen, what you want? Your wife don't get children? Oh, listen, man, you got to slaughter two camels, and, you know, you got to do this. And that ignorant person, he going to bring three camels, not just two. He said, look, two and this one from me, you know. Being generous in shirk, you know. And that's shirk, l'iyadu billah. So the Shaykh, he mentioned that chapter so that, of course, in the beginning of the book, the Shaykh, he mentioned many chapters about tawheed. What is tawheed? The obligations of tawheed, the virtue of tawheed, the superiority of tawheed, the pure tawheed leads to the Jannah and the like. And then he began to bring the things that nullify tawheed too. So you need to know the path that leads to success, but also you need to know the path that leads to destruction. So once you find yourself on it, you're like, oh, I shouldn't be here. I can't be here. No, no way. So that's why he brought this. Okay, because this is from those acts of shirk that nullify tawheed, that oppose tawheed. The muwahid doesn't do these things. In another way, somebody who is upon pure tawheed doesn't make vows for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not. من الشرك أي الأكبر. Now the Shaykh explained shirk here, what is intended behind it, it is major shirk. النذر لغير الله. Why making vow to other than Allah is shirk? Why? Because it's an ibadah. Nadr is an act of worship. والنذر وصرف العبادة لغير الله شرك. And you know that when a person devout any act of worship for other than Allah, that's shirk. Even if that person is sincere, very sincere, but that's an act of shirk. A person associating worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because only Allah deserves to be worshipped. And all acts of worship, they should, all of them, not just 99%. All of them, every single act of worship should be performed for the sake of Allah alone. Nothing else from the acts of worship should be devoted for other than Allah. No one or nothing else should be associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that act of worship. وما هو النذر؟ What is a vow? النذر مصدر نذر ينذر أوجب على نفسه شيئا لم يكن واجبا عليه شرعا تعظيما للمنذور له، وأصله في اللغة الإيجاب. This nether to vow, what is it? Sheikh gave us a definition of a vow, V-O-W. There's another word for it, right?
Huh?
Oath. Oath or something, yes. Okay? The vow, which is in Arabic, nether, what is it? Is when a person make upon himself something obligatory to do, which Allah didn't make it obligatory upon him. Why a person does this? Out of respect and veneration for the person he's making this vow for. Okay? So, that's why it is shirk. Because those people who make upon themselves something obligatory, okay, for example, like I told you, the ignorant people, Allah ihdihum, they make obligatory upon them to do certain things, like I said, to slaughter an animal, out of respect for that person, for that dead person in that grave, walayyadu billah. المعنى الإجمالي للآيتين. Now we'll read to you the general meaning of these two ayats. The ayah of Surah Al-Insan and the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى يمدح الله الذين يتعبدون له بما أوجبوه على أنفسهم من الطاعات، كما أنه يخبر سبحانه أنه يعلم كل صدقة تصدقنا بها وكل عبادة التزمناها له أو لغيره، وسيجازي كلا على حسب نيته وقصده. He says here in these two ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praise those who carry out those vows, that they vows that they made obligatory upon themselves for Allah. For Allah, not for somebody else. Because it is permissible, yet the ulama, they says, you don't have to go through that, but if somebody says, somebody, for example, his child is very sick, his mother's sick, or whatever, somebody is trying to pass this very important test, to get this position, whatever the case is, and this person says, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah and beg Allah to help him, and that person make it upon himself, says, if this happened, alhamdulillah, if I pass this test after asking Allah and trusting Allah, that person says, I'm going to fast 10 days. Alright? If this happened, mashallah, my son recover from this because he's in a coma, ICU, the doctors who they only speak with the knowledge that Allah give them that little bit, they're like, listen man, your child might not make it. But him, he turned to Allah who in his hand all things, all affairs. Yes, the doctor, they just speak with what they know. So as for the doctor, they speak with their knowledge. They know the condition of the heart. But Allah is able to do all things. So the Muslim turn to Allah. The Muslim said, he ain't going to argue with a doctor. Okay, do your things, man. Alright, but he turns to Allah in sujood, in salat. And then that person, he may say, oh Allah, I'm accepting everything. MashaAllah. If you take this child, you have given me others. Many other bounties. Alhamdulillah, oh Allah. But if you cure him, oh Allah, I will give it $10,000 in charity. Alright? So if that boy is cured, or girl, so that person now is binding upon himself or herself to give that, because they make that vow. And that's a vow of obedience. Alright? It has to be in obedience. Not somebody like a maker vow says, "Oh Allah, if I pass this test, I'm giving this car of this guy here in charity." No, you don't do that. That car is not yours. You see? Car is not yours. You say, "I'm giving this brother car here. It looks nice car. I'm going to give it in charity." No, you can't do that. You got to be in obedience. All right? Barakallahu feekum. Likewise, in the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that He has knowledge and full knowledge of every act of charity that we spend for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every vow that we make, every vow people make, whether for Allah or for other Allah, Allah knows it all. People make a vow for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedient to Allah, while others they make vow for other than Allah. Allah knows it all. And He will reward subhanahu wa ta'ala everyone according to his intention and according to why he made that vow. Everyone will be rewarded according to the intention behind the act of worship. Munasabatul ayatayni al-bab. And the Shaykh Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala, as you see, is very detailed, alhamdulillah, step by step, point by point. Now the Shaykh, he mentioned the relevance of these two verses to this chapter. In other terms, why Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahu ta'ala, has selected these two verses as a proof to this in this chapter. You see, in the beginning, he brings us, in the beginning of every chapter, the Shaykh, he gives us the reason why he selected this chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed. Why? He didn't do these things randomly. This Shaykh, he wasn't just like writing just for the sake of writing a book. No, everything, there is a reason. Likewise, now, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, will give us the reason why Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, selected these two ayats from the many ayats in the Quran as a proof. قال أنهما يدلان على أن النذر عبادة حيث مدح الموفين به وهو لا يمدح إلا على فعل مأمور أو ترك محظور. He says, first of all, he says these verses, two verses, the verse in Surah Al-Insan and the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, they are a proof that never vow is an act of worship. Is an act of worship. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those people who fulfill their vows. He said that Allah does not praise any action unless if he was commanded to do. People are praised for acting upon the commands, and they are also praised for staying away from the prohibitions. People are praised when they act upon the commands and also when they stay away from what prohibited. كما أنه أخبر سبحانه وتعالى أنه يعلم ما يصدر منا من نفقات ونذور وسيجازين على ذلك. Likewise, in this ayah, especially the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that He has full knowledge of everything we do, especially those acts of charities we give and the vows you make. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us according to that. فَدَلَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ النَّذْرَ عِبَادَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ عِبَادَةٌ فَصَرْفُهُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ شِرْكٌ. Because of all of this now, it shows that nadhr, to vow, is an act of worship. Is an act of worship. And devoting that act of worship for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk. Major shirk, as the Shaykh mentioned, is a major shirk. And we gave you some examples of nadhr. You know, like a people, somebody doesn't have children, been married for years, and then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, I need, I love children. You're the one that give children, you know. And I'm turning to you, O Allah. And then I like, and this is the right way. Okay, and this is the right way. And then that person say, O Allah, you're the one that grant children. I'm satisfied with what you give me. I'm pleased with your decree. You know, I'm not the only one who don't have children. And, but if Allah, if you give me children, I will feed 50 poor persons, for example. I will feed them. So that person, Allah gave him a child now. So that's a vow. That person now has to fulfill that vow. Because this person has taken the proper channel. Unlike some other people, when his wife, for example, is not getting children, or the lady herself, now she don't get children, she know that the man wants children, and instead to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they do, whether both of them or just her, they follow the shirk channel. They go to some, because of ignorance, some lady told her, oh, you don't get children? Oh, I know one lady, she didn't have children for years. What happened? Well, she, you think she's going to tell her she stand up on night prayer and ask Allah, huh? No, oh, she went to this man, the grave, this dead grave over there, he give children. Yeah, he gave many people children. Like he has baskets of them right there in the grave. Oh, you want child? Okay, choose from these guys right there. That man is dead. Can the dead give life? Subhanallah. Allah al-Musta'an. And then those ignorant people, they go there and do shirk. They may pray and bow down and make sujood. And on top of that, ask that dua is a shirk. Look, many acts of shirk involved. And on top of that, Allah give them a child, not the guy in the grave. And they think that that person in the grave will give a child. See, Allah is the one who give them the child. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma yustafadu min al-ayatain. What is some of the benefits from these two verses, ya akhwan? Now, remember we used to do this at the end, at this present time. We want to listen. Listen from you, inshallah. Naam. Ahsant. Another ibadah. Ahsant. Can you add something important to it?
I should be sincere for Allah's sake.
Ahsant. And can you add a little bit more to it? The opposite of what you just said. Or help your brother. He mentioned something very good. He mentioned, Naam, I'm coming to you, Abu Bakr. He mentioned that nadhr is an act of worship. And I said to him, can you add something that goes with it? He says, it should be devoted only for Allah. Can you add something a little bit that goes with it? Naam Abu Bakr? Ahsant. Ahsant. Huwa kadhalik. And to devote it for other than Allah is a major shirk. That's an excellent point. Jazakumullah khair. Naam. Another benefit? Sultan, you're looking at me like you want to say something.
to fulfill the vow to Allah is an act of obedience.
Ahsant. Excellent. Now, you make a vow, an obedient vow. A good vow, you fulfill it to the best of your ability. Now, Abdul Hakim.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say.
Say it again, Akhi, in your accent.
The vow has to be in obedience to Allah.
Ahsant. Now, the vow has to be in obedience to Allah. Now, what else? And you?
You make a vow to Allah and it becomes obligatory for you.
Aynam. So when a person make a vow, they have to carry out. Of course, according to their abilities. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. What else? There is two other. I'm looking for something else. Naam Nuruddin. Aynam, ahsant. What else? Tayyib. Awwal, now you write down these things. Okay, Jazakumullah khair for your contribution, but that's what you write right now, because I'm reading to you what the Shaykh says. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan al-Hamdali says, as for the benefits from these two verses, number one, أن النذر عبادة. Nadr, to vow, is an act of worship. فيكون صرفه لغير الله شركا أكبر. So therefore, devouring it for other than Allah is a major shirk. It has to be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making vows for other than Allah is a major shirk, because vow is an act of worship. Number two, إثبات علم الله تعالى بكل شيء. I was looking for this one. This ayat affirmed the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has full knowledge of all things. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ نَفَقَةٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْ نَدْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ. Whatever charity you spend or a vow you make, Allah knows it all. So these two ayats, from those many ayats, they affirm the knowledge of Allah. That Allah has full knowledge of all things. Number three, إِثْبَاتُ الْجَزَاءِ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ. Likewise, these ayats affirm and establish the reward for the deeds. Everybody will be rewarded according to their deeds. Good for good and bad for bad. And of course, alhamdulillah, Allah is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, at-Tawwab al-Ghafoor. Those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with repentance, Allah forgive them. And actually Allah tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, that those who sincere, they were very sincere after wronging themselves, Allah, not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them, but exchange their evil deeds into good deeds. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Certain people who are very sincere, their tawbah, Allah forgive them and exchange their evil deeds to good deeds. Allahu Akbar. Number four, الْحَثُّ عَلَى الْوَفَاءِ بِالنَّذْرِ. Likewise, when a person make a vow, they should follow it. They should carry it out. Now, we wanted a hadith. قال شيخ الإسلام محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وفي الصحيح أي في صحيح البخاري وفي الصحيح عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من نذر أن يطيع الله فليطيعه ومن نذر أن يعصي الله فلا يعصيه. This hadith is going to explain to us now, are all vows have to be carried? Whenever you make a vow, whether it's a good or bad, obedience or disobedience, this hadith will explain to us that. In this hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, hadith number 6696, narrated Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever vows, I'm saying that right? Vows? Vows, right? Whoever vows that he will be obedient to Allah, he should be obedient to him. Whoever vows obedience, he should be obedient to Allah. And whoever made a vow that he will disobey Allah, he should not disobey Allah. Should not disobey Allah. Because some people say, man, if this happens, he's going to drink some alcohol. Come on, drink alcohol. That's disobedience. Alright? That's disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, he's going to go rob a bank and give the money to the masjid. No Robin Hood in this one. You know? So no, it's going to be an act of obedience. Alright? It's going to be an act of obedience. Aisha radiallahu anha, hiya Umm al-Mu'mineen. Aisha, the narrator of this hadith, she's the mother of the believers. Now, because Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the mothers of the believers. Zawjun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she is the mother of the believers. That's why you find the ulama sometimes when they mention Aisha, says, Ummuna Aisha. Ummuna. our mother. Yes, she is. Zawjun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wabintu Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma. And she's the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. وهي أفقه النساء مطلقا. She is the most learned of the women, period. وأفضل أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما عدا خديجة. And she is the best of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم except for خديجة. ففي تفضيلها عليها خلاف. شيخ صالح الفوزاني says, as for who's better, عائشة in virtue or خديجة, then there is a difference of opinions amongst the ulama. And Aisha radiallahu anha, herself, she says she's not jealous. She has co-wives. She has co-wives that she lived. And you know, there we have narrations what took place between her and between some of her co-wives. But she says she never been jealous of any co-wife than she was of Khadija. She never met her. Khadija died before the Prophet ﷺ married Aisha. She died before he married Aisha, but she says she never jealous of any of her co-wives, and she was of Khadija. Why Aisha radiallahu anha? She says because Prophet always mentioned her with good, always praise her, even after her death. You see how a husband is nice and kind to his wife,
even to her friends.
Amen. He says also Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, when the Prophet ﷺ, we have something good, we slaughter an animal, he take the best of it and say, give it to Aisha's friend, Khadija's friends. Aina. Tawfiyat sanat 57 al-Hijra, she died radiallahu anha in the year 57 of the Hijra. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمر من صدر منه نذر طاعة أن يوفي بنذره أي يفعله ليفعل ما نذره من طاعة. He says in this hadith the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is informing us or commanding us, is a command from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, whoever vow that he will be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should carry out that vow. He should act upon it. And he mentioned some examples. كَمَنْ نَذَرَ صَلَاةً أَوْ صَدَقَةً أَوْ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Somebody vow that he will pray. If this happen, I'm going to make prayers. Okay? And a person have to take in consideration his means. Some people is like, listen, if this happen, man, I'm going to pray 1 month in the haram. All right, now you're going to go to the haram and pray. Say, I'm going to pray 1 month in tawheed. But now the ulama, they say, it's not like the obligatory prayers, because that's obligatory upon you. You don't make something. That's already obligatory upon you. But now this is somebody who's going to say, listen, man, I'm going to just pray, you know, tahajjud in every night or something like that. Anyway, somebody vow to pray, then he has to pray. Somebody vow to give a sadaqah, a charity, now it's binding upon them to do that because that's an act of obedience. وَيَنْهَى مَنْ صَدَرَ مِنْهُ نَذْرُ مَعْصِيَةً عَنْ تَنْفِيذِهِ أَوْ تَنْفِيذِ نَذْرِهِ أي لا يفعله. لا يفعل ما نذره من المعصية. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in this hadith, he made it prohibited upon anyone who vow, or their vow is associated with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people are commanded not to carry out their vow. If they make a vow in disobedience to Allah, they shouldn't do it. An example, من نذر الذبح لغير الله أو الصلاة عند القبور أو السفر لزيارتها أو غير ذلك من المعاصي. Sheikh, he gave some examples. Somebody who vow, make a vow to slaughter for other than Allah. Somebody did it, but then he knows the hukum, he shouldn't do it. Shouldn't slaughter his animals, should let them free, inshallah. Or somebody who make a vow to pray at the graves. Somebody say, man, if this happened, he's going to go to the grave and pray 40 prayers or 40 days. Then somebody tell him, he can't pray in the graves. Then that person should not make that vow. Or somebody who travel to visit the graves. Because you don't travel to visit the graves. You visit the graves around you, but you don't travel for that purpose. See? You don't travel for that purpose. That's why when you go to Medina, you're not traveling for the purpose to visit the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. Or the ulama, he says, you're traveling to pray at the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the salat in it is better than a thousand times than anywhere else except for the what? And Masjid al-Haram in Mecca is 100,000. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاث مساجد. لا لم يقل إلى قبري أو لا. بالعكس قال لا تتخذوا قبري عيدا. حذر من ذلك صلى الله عليه وسلم. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if somebody travel, he travel for these three masajid. Yes, you can travel with the intention to get the reward praying in these three masajid. Not to make attention to travel to visit the graves. No. So if anybody make any of these vows to, which is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should not carry, he should stop. Munasabatul hadith lilbab. Now the Shaykh give us the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala has chosen this hadith as a proof in this particular chapter. أنه دل على أن النذر يكون طاعة ويكون معصية فدل على أنه عبادة فمن نذر لغير الله فقد أشرك به بعبادته. The reason Shaykh al-Islam brought this hadith, because this hadith is a proof that nadr, vow, can be in obedience or disobedience. And if this is the case, so therefore it is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. And whoever devout this nadr, whoever vow for other than Allah, is considered an act of worship, shirk. Has committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that act of worship, they have to be performed only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we conclude this chapter and also this class of today by bringing the benefits of this hadith. مَا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ. But first of all, this hadith, who narrated this hadith and who collected it? نعم من صحابي الحديث. نعم لقمان. أحسنت. Narrated by Aisha رضي الله عنها and collected by الإمام البخاري. Tell me something about Aisha, Jibreel. We mentioned some things about Aisha. Can you mention one thing? No. I can't read lips. Ahsant. She is the mother of the believers. Ahsant. Jazakallah khair. Go ahead. Ahsant, and she was the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Make it witr, akhi. Ahsant, she died in the year 57 of the Hijrah. You deserve a gift. And I'm sure our brother Ayman will take care of that, inshallah. That's like a mandatory volunteerism. Right? Huh? Huh? No, don't make no vow, man. You know, I'm just saying. But you look like you can make it. You're a nice guy. You're a nice father. All right? So you got him. All right, let me know by blood, okay? don't make a vow. You're right. Barakallahu fi. But even if you make one, that's a good one. Right? All right. Thank you. Jazakallah khair, Jibreel. Now, You raise your hand, who raised his hand? I see one hand up. Who did it? Abdullah? No? All right. ما يستفاد من الحديث يا أخوان? What is some of the benefits of the hadith? Sheikh mentioned three. See if all of us can come up with one or two, inshallah. Naam, Luqman?
Sheikh concluded that since vow could be in obedience or in disobedience, means
the nadhr can be obedience or disobedience. Naam, sent. You. أحسنت هو كذلك. That's it. We got them all. All right. You wrote them down. Okay. طيب. Number one. أن النذر عبادة فصرفه لغير الله الشرك. It's very important. This is important because if you see somebody doing something, now you're gonna talk to them. You're gonna give them reasons. Don't just tell somebody, don't do it. Why? حرام أخي. Why? I said so. Nah. Said so. You're a prophet, said so. Come on. The one who said so and we follow, that was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But me and you, we don't just come to somebody and say, don't do it. Why? Because I said so. He's like, well, I'm saying so too. You're not paying attention to what I'm saying. You know, I'm talking too. Why should I just listen to you? You don't listen to me. But if you tell a person, look, man, this is not right. Why? Because this and this. Like here. Never tell the person, if somebody do something haram, vow haram, you tell them, don't do it. Why? Because it's an act of worship. And Allah says in Surah Al-Insan, Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Hadith of Aisha in Sahih Al-Bukhari. See? Now, somebody who really just don't know, and somebody who wants to do what is good, he's going to say, SubhanAllah, man, you're right, man. SubhanAllah. I'm going to do it for Allah, not for this dead person. Why? Because nadr is an act of worship, the Shaykh says. And nadr ibadah. Nadr is an act of worship. So devoting it for other than Allah is a shirk. Major shirk, as the Shaykh mentioned. And you tell that person, you don't want to fall into major shirk. You know, major shirk is not a good thing, man. There ain't nothing good about major shirk. That's the only sin that Allah does not forgive if somebody die upon. Inna Allah la yaghfir an yushraka bih. It's how you talk to the people. And if Allah guide that person, Allahu Akbar. Good for him and for you. And for his children and wife, because now he's going to go back and say, hey guys, no more slaughtering for those guys over there. No, it's good for all of them. SubhanAllah. He's going to talk to his parents, talk to his tribe, especially if that person is somebody who has a status in that village or that tribe or that family. Everybody going to listen to him, inshallah ta'ala, by Allah's will. Number two, وجوب الوفاء بنذر الطاعة. The obligations of fulfilling the vow of obedience. You vow any obedient, anything in obedience to Allah, now you got to do it. ثالثا, تحريم الوفاء بنذر المعصية. Likewise, the last benefit, It is prohibited to carry out the vow of disobedience. If somebody make a vow to disobey Allah, no. You don't do that. Like for example, somebody says, look man, if this happened my way, I'm going to boycott the community for 10 days. Boycott the community for what? Alright, boycotting the community, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, just like that for no reason, that's bad. That's not obedience. Or somebody says, okay, if he get this money, because he's doing some business, if he get this nice money, he make a vow not to pray in the masjid for 10 days. Any masjid, he's going to just stay home. No, this is not a good vow. This is disobedience to Allah. Okay? So then this person, what does he do? No, he don't. He don't carry out this. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.